And gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is it's Tuesday, August 22nd, 2017. I just want to say that we've got a great show lined up for you. The third hour, of course, Stan Dale. Stan Dale is going to be joining us again after his surgery from a couple of weeks ago. So it's good to have him back. And then the second hour, a very great, interesting guest, Charles Sasser. He's written a fantastic book, Crushing the Collective. Actually, he's just a tremendously prolific author. And the first hour coming up, Steve St. Angelo from SRS Rocco Report is going to be joining us. But, of course, we're live on the Global Star Radio Network, live on BTR, archived on both, BTR as well as, Global Star BTR is short, of course, for Blog Talk Radio. The fine folks there want to say thank you for carrying our program. Thank you, Global Star, for carrying our program. And we'll be on YouTube as long as, until we're not anymore. And according to, Eric the Tech, we're live on Twitter, Periscope. So go to Hagmann Report, Hagmann Report Twitter feed, at Hagmann Report. There you can get us live on Periscope, Twitter. I guess I've actually never used that. I've seen it used, but Eric the Tech had set that up. So I want to thank Joe for covering for me yesterday and, I think maybe Friday too.
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks.
No, it was,
Friday?
Yeah, it was Friday.
Yeah. Thanks for covering for me. A couple of things. The show I did this morning from 9 to 10. The Doug Hagmann show. I would urge everyone to just kind of to listen to that. Of course, it's 1 hour uninterrupted discussion about the Awan brothers, the spy ring in Congress, the 80 Congress members who have been affected by this Pakistani spy ring, the Awan brothers. Of course, we've had George Webb on. We've had Jerome Corsia. We've had others talking about this. The indictment, of course. I've got it right here. The indictment of Imran and, Imran Awan and his wife, Hina Alvi. But it's bigger than just Imran Awan. I just want to kind of give, just a little taste, a little snippet to what today my broadcast is about. And there's a reason for this. I'm going to kick it over to Joe, but there's a reason for this. This is the biggest story, I think, right now on the planet. And that is how a number of Pakistani nationals, by my count, nine have infiltrated Congress, the IT section of Congress, under the umbrella of Debbie Wasserman Schultz currently, and for most of the 13 years that they have been in Congress, IT specialist. You start pulling on this string, and it will unravel the mysteries behind a number of things, including it'll tear down the Russian narrative. It'll address the Seth Rich homicide, or at least, I'm going to be clear, or at least what Seth Rich knew in his interaction alleged with WikiLeaks. And it will expose to the citizens of the United States the level of infiltration in this country of spies. To me, this is critical. But today, this morning, I went over the indictment of Imran Awan and Hina Alvi. Now, I've read my share of indictments. This is an indictment from a grand jury that was seated in November of 2016. Don't pay attention. Don't worry about the date. That doesn't mean that this grand jury was seated specifically to hear this case. They hear numerous cases. But what's important for people to really understand, I think, is the indictment itself. And Andrew McCarthy did a column on this yesterday at National Review. which I, you know, the publication, think of it what you will. I think it's a GOPE publication, but Andrew McCarthy, having the experience as a federal prosecutor, U.S. attorney, looked at the indictment and pointed some things out, and I took it and I read through the indictment as well, and I agree with Andrew McCarthy, of course, who wouldn't, and I'd be a fool not to. I mean, that's his job, you know, that's his specialty, but here's the issue. The indictment is purposely narrow and has purpose, deliberate omissions. What I'm saying is, this was, to me, the equivalent of you going, let's say you're driving a car and you're going down the road 100 miles an hour and you hit a couple of small children to make this really horrific and kill them. And after and you're high on meth, and also you're driving a stolen car, and your license is suspended, and, oh, I don't know, and you just killed your mother at home. You know, I mean, just think of the most ridiculous things. This indictment only addresses, like, the fact that you were speeding. That's how narrow this indictment is. And now that's certainly hyperbole, but you get the idea. Why? It doesn't address the fact that that Hina Alvi is in Pakistan. It could have been stopped from fleeing to Pakistan. Has really no intention, I don't believe, of returning. I don't know what's in her mind, but certainly it doesn't appear that she's got any intention of returning to the United States. It doesn't address that fact. It doesn't address the fact that she was caught at the airport with $12,400 in her baggage, when in fact she did not fill out the forms. They could have stopped her right there. That's a felony. Yeah, I'm not big on reporting that either, but okay, you get the picture. And it doesn't address the fact that Imran Awan owns 12 plus houses, 20 plus businesses, some shell corporations, and that $283,000 that is the focus of this indictment is one of literally tens, 20, 30 transactions of a similar type. But at the epicenter of this is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So today, 9 to 10, I go over that. I played some clips from Sarah Carter from Circa News at the initial beginning phase of the investigation to add the context, and then Wasserman Schultz about the laptop, and then I added with what Wasserman Schultz, what her defense is going to be. So please pass that around. And I wanted to say that only because I think this is perhaps one of the most underreported stories in the world today. Now, I didn't get a chance to listen to Joe and John's show today. I'm sure it was great, but listen to that as well between 2 and 3. Blog Talk Radio and Global Star Radio Network, both platforms. So 9 to 10, me, John, and Joe, 2 and 3. And I got to tell you, they're doing a great job. Their numbers are just collectively, our numbers are incredible. So I want to thank each and every one of you that are passing out news and information, because we've upped our broadcasting from 3 hours per day to 5 hours per day. We've added John in to chime in on things, and both John and Joe are doing a fantastic job, and I just want to say thank you, and thank you for your assistance. And I also want to mention one last thing, and that's the fact that there is a war on free speech. There's a war on truth. Truth does not sleep. Truth does not take a vacation. Truth is so important. We're not getting it from the media. And I've gotten a couple of emails. I just want to address this wholesale. You know, we talk about the corporate media. We talk about Sean Hannity and Fox News. The globalists are trying to, the globalists through the Murdoch boys are attempting to take down Fox News by attacking Sean Hannity. Peter Barry Chalka, one of the most knowledgeable and intellectual people I know, smartest guy, seriously, that I know, he's been dealing directly with this issue. The emails I've been getting saying, hey, don't forget to mention Lou Dobbs and Judge Jeanine. Yes, they are, I think they are stellar at what they do as opposed to Shepard Smith. But the golden key here is Sean Hannity. They want to take him out of prime time, and once they do, there goes the complete takeover. We're hanging by a thread. The corporate mass media, Fox News, is hanging by a thread to be included in as a somewhat semi-conservative outlet, media outlet. Once they take Sean Hannity, it's like taking the big guy, you know, in the bar. and Judge Jeanine and Lou Dobbs and others, and Neil, even Neil Cavuto, I'll throw in there, Fox Business. He's a great guy on his show as well. But the fact is, they're going after them. They're going after Sean Hannity, and we have to pray for Sean and keep him in our prayers. And even some conservatives are going after him for reasons that I just find absolutely amazing. And lastly, Jihad Watch, Robert Spencer. You know, it's amazing how we, and me personally, and then we as a group are listed on Right Wing Watch, and of course the Southern Poverty Law Center, ACLU, they're going after Jihad Watch, Mr. Spencer. Now PayPal has said, we're done, you're done, no more PayPal for you. This is how they're going to, and I want people to really understand this, this is what is taking place with respect to, this is how they're going to shut us up. Or attempt to shut us up. They're going to censor us to the point where we cannot, absolutely cannot, do business. Go ahead.
In this first hour with us right now, we have Steve St. Angelo. He's an independent researcher of SRSRockoReport.com. Started to invest in precious metals in 2002. Later on in 2008, he began researching areas of the gold and silver market that the majority of the precious metal analyst community have left unexplored. He's been a guest on our show in the past. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, Doug and Joe, it's great to be here. And I have to say, I was listening to what you were saying there, Doug, about the how the mainstream media is really is trying to take out the alternative media, and they're doing it in many different ways. But yeah, we're seeing that now. It's happening more and more. And not only do they go after the actual, let's say, person, the website, but they're also targeting their financial incentive as well. So yeah, it is an ongoing threat, and it's really been beefed up here in the last few years, especially the last 6 months.
Yeah, I've never seen this fight take shape the way it is right now, and I would suspect that you, because of your overall views and because of your success, more than anything, perhaps, you're a target as well. And I think we all in the alternative media must, or the new media, the independent media, we must stick together. The war is, it's a raging war. And people ask me, and let me get your take on this. People ask me, when do you think do you think there's going to be a civil war in this country? And if so, when do you think it's going to start? And my answer is, look, I think a cold civil war is already in progress. You know, as to when the shooting starts, I don't know. But the fact is, I got some really bad feelings, because I think the ultimate objective here is to take the president, Donald Trump, and the presidency itself, as well as our country, right down. What are your thoughts on this, where we're at?
It's a very, I look at things a little bit differently, but I also see there's two things happening. We have the political, we have two different areas that are taking place at the same time. We have what I call the outside, which is our lifestyle, our political kind of geopolitical actions that are taking place, control by the elite. All these things are happening in one area, and there's control going on there. And then there's another area underneath that runs everything. It runs. The energy runs it all. We can't talk unless we have electricity going through the computer system. We can't drive somewhere to do an interview or to get to work without the gasoline in the car. So the energy is the underlying factor that makes everything happen, and that's in big trouble. It wasn't that bad back in 2008 when we first hit our first economic shock, and then they've been papering it over. And so we have... This is a much bigger issue, Doug and Joe. The energy issue is in very bad shape, and it's getting worse. And then we also have on top of it the actual the insanity now that's taking place up at the White House. It's a circus now, and I don't blame Trump. You know, and so what's happening? We have two of the worst worlds. You see, there could be plenty of corruption. There can be dictators put in. There could be coups. But if you have the energy to continue this system, then then you keep going and you're having, we've seen corruption forever. There's been corruption in the Roman Empire. There was corruption in the English Empire and the Spanish Empire. It just continues. It's gotten a lot worse now, but we always had the energy to rely on to continue this whole thing forward. Well, now we were in serious trouble with the energy, and now we are in serious trouble, you know, with the geopolitical and what's happening in the establishment. And so I agree with you. Now, I would conclude this part of the talk by saying what's happening in Venezuela is kind of the worst-case scenario. And if you look just 3 or 4 years ago, things weren't that bad. Yes, maybe their Bolivar, the Venezuelan Bolivar, was starting to experience inflation, and then now it's hyperinflation. But at least they were kind of functioning. But now people are starving. It's a disaster over there. So that's the worst-case scenario. And so is that a civil war? Well, maybe it's a war between the establishment and the people. But the United States is so many times larger, so it's a much bigger problem. And I would have to agree with you. We don't know the date of when things start to fall apart, but I always look at the energy first, and the energy system is really getting in trouble. So I think there's not a lot of time left before the system starts to fall apart.
When you say the energy, would you say the energy what?
Oh, you know, the energy runs everything. And so it's like you couldn't have World War II. The Nazis couldn't have tried to take over parts of Europe and Russia and if they didn't have the energy. So
right.
We need that energy to function, and now the energy is in big trouble. And so you've got the energy I see a disintegration of the U.S. and global oil industry, and we're seeing it, the facts, right now. And so that is really going to cause a lot of trouble, especially, see, let me tell you, Venezuela, a lot of the reasons why Venezuela is in such big trouble, and it's not only the communist government, the communist kind of socialism, because we have plenty of examples of corrupt leaders in the Middle East, but they're still doing okay, because why? They have very high quality, light, sweet crude. It's very cheap to produce. Venezuela has very heavy oil, very expensive to produce. I can tell you this, if Venezuela was blessed with a lot of light, sweet crude, which is very cheap to produce, even though they have a corrupt government, they would not be in that situation they are right now. And Egypt fell a few years ago because Egypt used to be a net exporter of oil, but when they became a net importer of oil, their whole system fell apart because why? They don't have a printing press. Like we do. We have a printing press. So because we import so much oil, it's okay because we can print money and give treasuries out. So I just wanted to explain the dichotomy between the energy that runs everything and then this very corrupt governmental system that we have on top of it. So it's like there are two very bad things happening at the same time.
What you said about Venezuela, about him having, you know, much more crude and heavier oil. I forget who we were talking to last week, I believe it was, but they talked about the fact that Venezuela has the number one oil reserves in their country. And they made the argument that they should be prosperous because of that. But you're saying because it's a different kind of oil, it's more expensive to produce.
Or is it lift costs? Or both?
Yeah, well, you see, it's not just lift costs, because we know that Saudi Arabia has one of the cheapest lift costs in the world. But, you know, they're funding their government on their oil revenues. And I think I mentioned this in our last interview. They have been liquidating their foreign exchange reserves, which is their savings account, which are, you know, their foreign and U.S. Treasury bonds. Their treasuries, they're selling those because they're not making enough money now with their revenues. Saudi Arabia isn't. And so they're liquidating their reserves, their bank accounts, so they can continue funding their operation. Well, Venezuela is even more expensive than Saudi Arabia. But again, the problem is Saudi Arabia has the cheapest oil to produce. Venezuela is very expensive. It's very heavy oil, and a lot of that comes to the United States because we are geared to distill, or let's say to refine, that heavy oil. And so, again, if they need at least $50, $60 for heavy oil, and they're not getting it. And so they haven't been getting it in the past few years. So it's really impacting them, and you're right. Joe, you're right. They have the largest oil reserves in the planet, more than Saudi Arabia. But it's low-quality oil reserves. This is the issue. If they had a quarter in light sweet crude, they would be in a much better situation than they are right now. So, and I mean, the U.S., we're producing record oil right now. We're producing almost, we may surpass this year or beginning of next year our peak set in 1970. The problem is, nobody made any money producing this shale oil. The debt on the balance sheets of these companies is off the charts. So what they did is they took investor money, they produced the shale, we used it, we needed it, but now there's a huge IOU, and they pay everybody who's actually given the money, we pay them a nice 6-7% interest. But when these investors, which are pension plans, as well as mutual funds and state and public, when they come to get their investment back, they're not going to get their money back. The shale companies cannot pay the debt back. And so this is a big issue going forward. And so I just wanted to explain that yes, I do agree there's a lot of issues up in the White House. There's a lot of geopolitical troubles. But underneath it, what's even worse is the energy. Because the energy, when it falls apart, then you have like the collapse of the Roman Empire, which is they collapsed basically on their falling energy return on investment, and that's the exact same thing that's happening to the United States. Exact same thing. And I think I mentioned this to you before. In 1970, the United States was producing 30 barrels of oil for the energy cost of one barrel. So you had a lot of profitable barrels of oil. We could build highways. We could build infrastructure. It was great. Well, now shale is at 5-1. We're only producing 5 profitable barrels for every barrel of oil. And unfortunately, this very complex society that we have here in the U.S., we need something north of 12-15-1 to run everything. So we haven't been able to do that. We import the oil, and what do? We add the debt. So adding all this massive debt, whether it's public or private, continues to allow us to do business as usual, but unfortunately, at some point in time, it's going to hurt us. So I wanted to share that information because I want people to realize it's not just the leadership. It's not just the elite. It's not just the corruption. That's bad. That's very bad. But underneath it, we have this huge energy problem, and which is it makes the situation twice as bad.
You know, and I think you explained it very well. And correct me if I'm wrong, if this is not the correct article and audio report, but its market will fall by 50-75% as petrodollar and energy sectors break down. This from your website, August 14th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And folks, we're talking with Steve Santangelo, srsoracoreport.com. That was a very, I looked at that last week, and because I have your website bookmarked and I get a lot of great information from your website. Okay, that made a lot of sense now in the context of how everything is put together. Now I kind of get that now. Thank you for that boost, that added boost there. By the way, folks, we're going to skip the bottom of the hour break. I want to thank Global Star for allowing us to do that because our guest is an important guest and we want to get everything possible, all the information from Mr. Santangelo as possible. So, all right, where do you want to go from here? It's the floor is yours because I know that you've got some issues that you definitely want to talk about, and go ahead.
Okay, well, you know what's very important? This is my research. There, why I really like gold and silver, especially gold and silver that's paid for, because it's like a piggy bank. You know, you put money in a piggy bank, and when you go to get it, it's there. Gold and silver behave like that. But what they're storing is stored economic energy, because you could take that coin and trade it for something of equal value. Now, what we have today, what the Federal Reserve and the central banks and Wall Street have been propping up are stocks, bonds, and real estate. And so that's where 99% of the money is going, into stocks, bonds, and real estate. So to prop that system up, the one trouble we're seeing now, Doug and Joe, is the retirement market. it just hit a record this year. In the first quarter of 2017, the U.S. retirement market is now $26.1 trillion. And that's all these different kind of retirement accounts. It's 401ks, it's pension plans, it's IRAs, annuities. Now, what is the interesting thing I mentioned, in 2014, the 401k market, they paid out $29 billion more than came in. Now, the defined benefit, which is more like a, it's a private, retirement area, you get your money based upon your employment history. Well, they paid out $124 billion more in 2014 than came in. So, they don't have the information for 2015 and 2016, but it has to be worse. And so what that means is this is a Ponzi scheme, because people think when they put their money into a retirement account that they're taking this money and they're magically putting it in some big gold vault. So when you come to get it, then you're going to get your gold coins or whatever your retirement is. No, you put the money in, they grab your money, and they give it to somebody else. And so it comes in and it comes out. So people think it's in some big, let's say, asset. But those assets are highly inflated. And right now we're starting to see evidence that more is going out than is coming in. And let me conclude in the retirement market that we hear that the state pension plans are in trouble. You hear Illinois and Connecticut and New Jersey.
Yeah.
They're all in big trouble. They're underfunded. There's $4 trillion of these state assets, and they're underfunded by almost 50%, $2 trillion. But what's worse, the federal pension funds, their assets are about $1.6 trillion. They're underfunded by 1.9. So we are in big trouble. And let me conclude by saying...
They're upside down.
They're upside down.
And you're saying they're playing musical chairs with the money, people who have invested money in their retirement accounts, that, you know, some of that's been taken, used out to pay other accounts and whatnot, and money that's coming in will eventually go to pay for those accounts that
big
were created before
funds,
it. Game of musical chairs.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's the issue. You see, the federal government can do that. Why? Because we have the printing press. The states don't. So the federal plans, the pension plans, can be severely underfunded because we can print money, we can get money from someplace else. But all these assets, the $21.6 trillion of U.S. retirement assets, those are propped up, they're propped up probably at least by 75%. So when the asset prices finally pop, when we finally have this crash, and we can discuss how much these assets are overvalued, that means the liabilities don't go away. And so what happens is all these pension plans are going to be cut. Retirement markets are going to be cut. We're hearing evidence that UPS is already doing it, and that they're one of the biggest delivery systems in the United States. We all know the UPS guy. Well, they're already now starting to put freezes on their pension plans. So it the only way to keep that system going, Doug and Joe, is by allowing the asset prices to go higher and higher. When they start to come down, and they really start to come down, then the whole thing falls apart. And this is exactly what the Federal Reserve is fighting against.
And we've seen this in Dallas, too. There's a number of law enforcement officers, former firefighters, who are getting limits put on their drawing from their retirement accounts, even if they are retired.
Yep.
And there is a big issue as to, will this get paid out? So what you're saying is that some people are not going to get their money that they put into it.
No, because you know why? And let me see if I can explain why that is. Because a lot of people never take it back to the root cause. You have to go back to the root cause. The root cause is the energy. So most people are getting paid retirement. They get a little bit every year. They put in so much, or they contributed so much, or whatever. They work so much, and so they're getting a little bit every year. Well, that comes from burning energy. You burn energy. In the whole system, oil, natural gas, coal, whatever, you know, nuclear, and then it creates economic activity. And then with economic activity, we have some profits. And those profits are then used to pay off the retiree. Now, the problem is when someone says, let's say half the people want their money, well, you can't burn enough energy in 1 year to give them all their money. So all those assets are based upon, all the retirement is based upon burning energy. Again, energy is everything. So what happens now that the energy is becoming problematic, that's why we're starting to see everything is becoming underfunded. Now, yes, there is corruption. Yes, maybe some people who worked in California and now they're getting retirement of $100,000 a year, that's not, that shouldn't be. But it is. Regardless, the system is being disintegrated by this falling energy return on investment. When the energy return on investment was high, we could allow a somewhat profitable retirement. But now that it's really falling and it's not being able to let's say, fund everything, infrastructure, maintenance, government workers, whatever, all these things, you know, the food system from growing to harvesting to processing to getting it to your dinner plate, that consumes 10 calories of energy for every 1 calorie of corn that you get on your dinner plate. So it consumes so much just to get the food to our dinner plate. So this is the issue, and I think what's going to happen when the energy really starts to fall apart, and it is already, we're starting to see it. I can give you some examples of what's happening in the U.S., but when it really starts to fall apart, then you don't have the profitable energy to pay people back. And so what they're doing now is it's hurting it now. They are just cannibalizing a lot of these funds, and that's why they're underfunded. But soon they will not be able to do that. So I would see going forward, when the market finally cracks, when they can't prop it up anymore, we're going to see a big cut in payouts, retirement payouts, and that won't last too long. And then a lot of these retirement pension funds, there will be nothing to pay out.
And that's a cold reality for many out there, or will be when they go to collect and are not able to. You know, you mentioned the fact that we expend so much energy just, you know, in getting our food and all this. Do we see in the market how one bubble affects the other? Now, you've been talking about energy, but let's say something goes bad with the retirement accounts. How is that going to affect the housing bubble? I mean, aside from maybe retirees who can't continue to afford their mortgages, but how would it affect it overall, if at all?
It will. And you see, I guess this is the issue. Everything is connected now. And, of course, you all know that. Everything is highly connected, and so this is the reason why we have seen in just the first, I know it's up to the first 5 months of the year, maybe it's been six, the asset purchases by central banks were $1.5 trillion in just the first 5 months, and that was mostly Japan and the Euro, European Union. And so this is a massive amount of money to go in and prop up the system. Now, when one starts to fall, then it impacts the other, because we have to realize real estate prices are based upon a highly leveraged system of people paying the least they can a month to pay off their home, and you need 30 years to pay that home off. Well, when the market cracks, the housing prices start to fall, well, then real estate taxes are going to fall as well. And so I look at when the market starts to really implode, we're going to see a decline. That's why I said it. We're going to see a 50 to 75% decline in stocks, bonds, and real estate. But right now, they're doing whatever they can to prop it up, because everything is based upon a growing stock, bond, and real estate market. And you know what's interesting? I'll tell you how inflated it is. Mike Pinto did a great stat. He said if we look at the U.S. Market cap of the stock market, it's average. When you take the stock market cap and you divide it by the U.S. GDP, it's been about 55% for the last two decades or so. Today, it's 135% the market cap of the markets. It's totally blown so far out of reality. And I would say that 55% that he used is actually overinflated as well. So this goes to show you just how propped up it is. But again, we're getting real estate taxes. The whole market is based upon an inflated asset prices. When it starts to fall apart, it'll impact everything, guys. It really will. And it could fall apart very quickly, which that aspect really concerns me the most, because then you do have civil war.
Okay. Now, just so I understand this correctly, and I think I do, what you're saying, and this really makes a lot of sense to me, if you consider the energy market, the energy sector, the energy period as like the floor or the ground, everything coming out of that is resting. Their tent poles resting on the ground, basically. And when that ground shifts or collapses or whatever, the entire system comes down. But the energy sector is what's holding everything up, or the energy is what's holding everything up or causing the shifts in the segments, market segments. Is that right?
Kind of? Yes.
Okay. All right. Now that does make a lot of sense. So now I know I'm going to get a lot of questions. We're going to get a lot of questions during the program. You had mentioned hard assets, gold and silver. You said you like the gold and silver. Now, obviously, that's the place. Physical possession of gold and silver is right now, I guess, probably the best place. It's a hell of a lot better than pension funds, right?
Yeah,
I mean, obviously.
This is the reason why, because assets like a stock, their valuations are priced to earnings. Okay, so they give a stock price value based upon its future earnings. So, and that's based upon a certain amount of growing future earnings. So, it's with the stock price, I call it an energy IOU asset. You have to burn energy next week, next month, and next year to make sure that price of Apple, that price of IBM, that price of ExxonMobil stays where it's at. When you own gold and silver and you have purchased it, you don't have to burn any energy. It's stored. That economic energy has already been burned, and it's now actually stored in that gold and silver coin. And that's why they call it money, because now somebody else has to burn energy. And we have to remember, everything is energy. You have to think of it like the Matrix. If you look at a tennis shoe, everything, most of the value of that tennis shoe is all the energy that went in to produce that tennis shoe. That's the price of that tennis shoe. Yes, supply and demand do offer some volatility in the price, but the price of a shoe, the price of a car, the price of a pair of pants, the price of a wheelbarrow, the majority of that price is based upon all the energy, whether it's human labor, whether it's natural gas, whether it's coal, all the facets to produce that wheelbarrow and to get it to the store was the energy. So everything is energy. And so when you look at that gold and silver coin, there was a lot of energy in all forms and stages that went to produce that gold and silver coin. And it's actually 75 times more expensive to produce an ounce of gold than an ounce of silver. Now, that's their cost. Unfortunately, the market has been deceived. It has been hoodwinked because of Wall Street and the central banks. What they've done is back in the 70s, starting in the 70s, and after 1980, when gold and silver really spiked, people were moved and funneled into paper assets and away from gold and silver. So they went away from sound energy, let's say stored economic energy, assets like gold and silver, and they went into these paper IOUs, energy IOUs. And it worked as the oil industry increased oil production, but now oil production has kind of peaked. Yes, we have a little bit more, but it's very expensive. It's not really profitable. And so this is the issue. It's kind of like Bear Stearns, Doug and Joe. Back in 2007, 2008, the market thought Bear Stearns, which is one of our investment banks, it was worth $90 a share. Well, it wasn't. It just didn't take about another couple, 2-3 months, and it went down to $2. So the issue is Bear Stearns was never really worth that $90. For many years, it had lost. It basically had been devoured, or let's say it disintegrated within. It was basically a shadow. Unfortunately, when the market found out, it collapsed. Now, the problem is that's the whole market now. The whole market is like Bear Stearns. So there's very few gold and silver assets out there in the market. So when we start to see this breakdown in the market and some of this money, from what I understand, Doug and Joe, there's over $300 trillion. I think $330 trillion is what's in stocks, bonds, and real estate globally. when 1 or 2, 3 trillion move into gold and silver, we're going to see those prices really move up. And so they won't be based upon what it costs to produce them, but it will be what they can store in value, because now we're going to start to see a disintegration in valuation of all these other ones, all these other stocks, bonds, and real estate.
Okay. And Steve, I have a few more questions, but we only got about, 16 minutes left of the interview. I want to make sure that we get into the commodity ad network. But I did want to ask you a little bit about cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, and we've seen their value go up recently. So if we have time, we can get back into that. But why don't you lay out what the commodity ad network is?
Well, when you first started the interview, we spoke about how the, let's say, at the largest ad network in the planet and their sister video company is actually censoring, and now I've talked to other websites, big video producers, and they redid the algorithms in the, a couple months ago, and a lot of people were hurt, but then they came back online. Other people who do, let's say, regular mainstream stuff, they're okay. But the alternative media has now been flagged as advertiser not friendly or ad not friendly. And so then they start cutting these advertising going to the video producer who uses that income. And so this is the what's happening. The large ad network is now targeting the alternative media. So now my webmaster, who is a very bright guy, he's very intelligent, he's almost a genius when it comes to programming. He's been developing this alternative commodity ad network. And when it says commodity, it's just not metals. It's for the alternative community. So what he wants to do, and we actually already have a team. We have a team on board. And what we're going to do is we are going to get out of the whole ad network, which is based on clicks. Not only do they follow everything you do, they record it and they sell it. Our commodity ad network is private. That information remains private. So what we want to do is we want to get websites such as yourself. They would join the commodity ad network. We would get advertisers who are in the same kind of niche. They either sell precious metals, they sell resource newsletters, they sell survival goods, all these things. These are people, advertisers, that want to actually participate in this. So what we're going to offer the websites that come aboard, the first 300 that sign, they'll get a $1,000 bonus off the bat. And then they'll be getting paid 2 or 3 times what the large ad network is paying, and that is continuing to fall. So what we're trying to do, Doug and Joe, we're trying to keep the alternative media message out there. We see the threat, and now I've heard they went after the videos first. Now they're going to go after the website ads second. And so the way for, let's say, publishers as yourself to survive, we have to make money. And so what it's important for the whole alternative community, whether it's the publishers or the advertisers or even the followers, it's good for everybody to keep this message out. So what we want to do is provide this new ad network that allows the message to continue, and it also benefits the publishers who are putting out good work on what is actually happening, and they're actually getting paid more to do it. They're getting paid more of the advertiser dollar, because we have to realize we need the advertiser, and we also need the publishers, the alternative websites. They're both important. So this is kind of in a nutshell what we're trying to do. And again, the most important thing is everything, all the, the searching and the clicking, if you're going to click on an ad, all that remains private. It should be. And so this is, we think it's coming at the perfect time to offer this kind of alternative network.
That's very interesting. Do you need to get the people to sign up before you launch it, or are you going to, how's this going to take shape in the next, days, weeks, and months?
Okay, we let me explain this, because you're talking about the crypto. Actually, this commodity ad network is going to be funded by a CDX token. And I look at the cryptocurrency market a little bit differently in this way. It performs certain functions that are much better, much quicker, and faster than the banking system is today. That's how I look at it. It's a technological function. We use debit cards, we use credit cards, we use checking accounts, we use money wires. The cryptocurrencies, in a positive way, do it much faster, much quicker, and much cheaper. And what we're doing is we're going to fund it with this cryptocurrency. It's called an initial coin offering, and that takes place this weekend as well as next month. And we believe it's going to be very successful. And when it's successful, the funds are going to be there. And now I've already have several people, several websites, many websites that want to join. And I am working with advertisers. So I think once the system, we already have the ad network system. It's going to be custom, let's say customized, programmed. And we're going to build this thing, and it actually, we're looking to go live on January 1st, 2018. And so,
wow! And you can, and folks, you can go to srsroccoreport.com. Click on the very first
article,
right? And then if you to get to the community ad network, you just click in the embedded link there, and you can see it all laid out. Wow!
You can also go to commodityadnetwork.com.
Right. Wow. Okay.
Sounds like a great idea.
Well, and I think the reason why, and this is what's interesting. The large ad network says that they take a lot of money. They take a lot of money, and they say we're paying our publishers' websites very well. We don't know because it's private.
Right.
Well, when you use a it's called a token that is based upon the Ethereum blockchain. Everything is there. It's public. The search information is private. But the financial information is public, so there's no way we can actually prove that we're paying, or the Commodity Ad Network is paying this much to the alternative websites. And again, we feel there's going to be an ongoing trend to try to stifle the alternative media message. You spoke about that, and
right.
I'm hearing
big time.
It's big time. So, yes. I have a little bit mixed feelings about cryptocurrencies, and that's due to the energy. But this cryptocurrency, or this CDX token, people would get paid in that. The content creators would get paid in that, and then they could immediately get their dollars, their Canadian dollars. They can automatically get their dollars out. And what's also fascinating about this, if let's say it's your site or my site. I still learn about new sites all the time, alternative. I still come across them. The one thing that this ad network would provide anybody in the network like yourselves, if you choose, you could advertise your website to reach other folks that have never heard about you before at half the cost of the advertiser. So, and that is just something if the content creators, the websites would choose to do that. So, it actually would help build more traffic going to these alternative sites, which would actually build more of the word. So we want to keep the word going, and this was one way to allow more and more of the alternative media message to stay alive up against, you know, the forces that are trying to really stifle it.
And now, just so I'm clear on this, you're not going to provide the video platform. For example, you're not going to be a substitute for YouTube. You're going to be a substitute for the ad generation to keep the alternative media funded, correct?
Okay. At first, we are going after, we want to bring on the website.
Right.
However, the next step next year, the ad network that we're going to use, the ad server, it's called a Revive ad server, already has the ability to do to do video ads. However, we have to implement that system. That's the next goal.
Okay.
Because we want to not only do for videos, we want to do for social media. And another bad thing that's happening in the advertisers, and I don't blame people who go to websites, they get ad blocked. Because you go to some of these websites, they're popping up ads. It's very annoying. We're not going to have them.
Good.
We're not going to. We don't want any annoying ads. No pop-up ads. Ads that are pleasant to look at, and also the ads that are more geared toward the alternative media message. So that's another big plus. But yes, the video producer, that is the next goal. That is the next big goal, and we think this will be very successful. You see, a lot of these initial coin offerings, they're offering these companies that are using this to start these interesting companies, and some of them are very interesting. They're trying to do a lot of things. But they really don't have a good business model. Our business model is to bring on the advertisers, because the advertisers are going to benefit a lot better than being on the large ad network. They will benefit a lot better. They'll get more bang for their buck. And so when they come aboard, then the money starts coming in. So this commodity ad network is designed to be a very good business off the bat, not a year or 2 or 3 years later. It will be. It'll start right off the bat, bringing in the website as well as the advertisers. So I just wanted to add that.
I got to ask: are you the brainchild behind this? I mean, this is fantastic.
I wish I could be, but I'll tell you, it's Peter Froelich. He is my web designer, and he just updated my website about 4 months ago. It's lightning fast. I go to some of these other websites, and they're very slow, and he is very good at what he does. He's been working on this because, you see, he lives in Eastern Europe, and he had a very good company, and it was a company that helped Eastern Europeans learn English, because a lot of them were moving to different, like to England. So he had this program to help people learn English, and he used the large ad network, which was very small back then, and he got a lot of very good response. His company really flourished. But what happened is that the big advertisers came in, they bid for the words, and they stifled not only the small and medium businesses on the internet, they stifled the small and medium advertisers. And so our commodity ad network system is more democratic. It's actually for smaller and medium advertisers, as well as smaller and medium websites. And so that's more we're catering to. We're not saying we're not going to bring on larger ones in the future, but this Peter came up with this because he saw how people were starting to lose money. And it's especially now, especially in the last 6 months to a year, that it's really been ramped up. So using the cryptocurrency system, the token, to fund this operation, and then it seems a little technical, guys, but really, it's when you look at the positives, and I'll just say this, when you look at the positives of what these tokens can do, they make the banking system obsolete. However, there are some negative things about certain aspects of the cryptocurrency, but in this kind of closed system for our, which is called a CDX token, which the advertisers would either buy or they would pay cash. This is a closed kind of a system. And so it actually facilitates everything doing wires to different countries is very expensive. But when you're using the tokens, it's very fast and it's very inexpensive. So that we actually tapped into a very good way to actually to do this whole commodity ad network.
Okay, and wow. So you believe that the bitcoins and other cryptocurrencies are more stable now, and I say that because we've seen Bitcoin continue to rise and then have sharp falls, but rise back above their previous high. Do you think that these are stable currencies of the future?
My opinion on that is still up in the air. I will tell you this, though. I've spoke to some of a couple of these crypto guys. The cost to produce a Bitcoin, it's over $1,000 now. One Bitcoin. In the expensive mining machine that you have to buy, the electricity is off the charts. And I believe, the Bitcoin production in 1 year consumes the same electricity as Albania.
Okay.
So when we look at it that way, yes, the program is built upon burning a lot of energy and using a lot of capital in the miners to continue producing more bitcoins, and as time goes on, it gets more expensive. However, I said this in the past interview, I don't know how long our energy system will last, you know, how before things start to become problematic. And that something on a very highly technical system is fragile. But in the meantime, if we're trying to put out the alternative message, I don't see any problem using the positive aspects of the cryptocurrency market to facilitate that. But again, I still feel that even though a lot of funds are going to move into cryptocurrencies, they're going to be more problematic in time when energy becomes a problem. But I don't see a problem, as I mentioned before, I don't see a problem with people investing in cryptocurrencies, but I do believe it's very wise to also have more of your investment in sound physical assets like gold and silver.
Understood. Understood. Steve Santangelo, srsroccoreport.com. Always a crowd pleaser, man. Not a wasted word in that, in your segment. And we are going to have our eye on Commodity Ad Network and be talking to others about it and going to your website. From there, we can go to Community Ad Network and elsewhere to keep keep the status, right? Learn the status of everything.
And again, there's going to be a pre-sale this weekend, and then it starts on 26th, and then there is going to be anybody who is in the crypto market and understands it, there's a 100% bonus in the pre-sale, and then there's going to be that's between August 26th and August 31st, and then there is going to be an initial coin offering. It takes place September 9th, and this is all shown on the commodityadnetwork.com. Anybody who wants to contact Peter at commodityadnetwork.com or Steve at commodityadnetwork.com, we could provide more information. And I do appreciate you guys allowing me to talk about this, because the motivation behind it is really to continue getting paying the alternative content creator like yourselves or websites, putting out the word, is to help them to continue doing what they're doing. And when someone is actually who comes on as a website and they go through the process, you don't want anybody that's really, let's say, dangerous. Dangerous as in, you know, using a lot of foul language, just something that's really off the wall. But we're not going to, you know, if you're out there and you're putting out the word about what's happening, you're not going to be censored. That's the kind of people we want on the site.
Beautiful.
That sounds great. We're going to have you back on. We are out of time. Actually went over by about a minute. It's great to have you on, Steve Santangelo. Thank you so much. SRSRoccoReport.com. We'll talk with you again here in the near future. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Thanks, my brother.
We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
And it's environmentally friendly. Yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available. Anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night, go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.